Maximizing pavement performance with limited funds is a major challenge for transportation agencies worldwide. Reducing costs while hitting performance measures is another. I tackle these challenges and the importance of optimization with Magdy McHale in this episode of Move Your Assets. Transportation infrastructure. It's what keeps our economy moving and gets people safely where they need to go. But maintaining safe, reliable infrastructure assets is a complex challenge that requires innovative solutions. I'm Nick Frank from Agile Assets, and I'll be your guide as we navigate through that complex and evolving world of infrastructure asset management. Every podcast episode, you'll discover best practices, industry trends, and agency success stories that will help you improve your asset management strategies and get the most value from your infrastructure funding. You'll even learn how to save time, save money, and save lives while delivering safer, longer-lasting transportation networks. My guest today is Agile Assets Director of Transportation Industry Solutions, Magdy McHale. Magdy worked at the Texas Department of Transportation for 20 years, where he oversaw everything that had to do with pavement management. Magdy still remains an active leader in the transportation research community at a national level. He chairs the Transportation Research Board, Standing Committee on Surface Properties and Vehicle Interaction, and is a member of TRB's Standing Committee on Pavement Management Systems. Magdy, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Nick.
Hopefully, our listeners can learn a bunch of new things today, because we're going to be talking about how optimization works in pavement management. Obviously, the expert over here on that. So let's dive into it. What does true optimization mean?
Well, true optimization is a mathematical approach to solve a problem. So you are trying to maximize something like pavement performance, or you are trying to minimize something like cost. The next is you're trying to maximize or minimize these things, but you have a challenge. It's not like, you know, I can maximize performance and I have all the money that I need. You're trying to maximize performance, but you have limited money. Or you're trying to reduce the cost, but there is a goal or a performance measure that you need to meet. So actually, you know, there are courses taught on optimization, several courses.
And I think the big thing right there, which was kind of the budget of it too, where you have limited amounts of money and you've got lots of projects to do. I know, you know, we've got our worst first, our cost benefit analysis. Give me a high level or as detailed as you want about typical pavement management approaches.
The worst first approach is basically you fix the worst roads. Those roads are usually in terrible shape, and usually it costs a lot of money to fix these roads, which means that you're going to spend a lot of your money on a small number of projects. And over the long run, the condition of the roads in your state or your agency is not going to improve, because you're spending a lot of money on a small number of projects or a small number of roads. The benefit cost analysis, this method is kind of an approximate way for doing optimization. It can work if you have only one constraint. But in reality, we're always dealing with several constraints. So you're trying to improve the condition of the surface, but you're also trying to improve the ride. And it doesn't allow you to do a multi-year planning to account for the projects from previous years. The next is the true optimization. The beauty of true optimization that you can handle several constraints. For example, you're trying to minimize cost, but you can have several constraints. And you can do multi-year planning. So when you're developing the plan, you're taking into consideration plans from previous years.
So you did touch on one thing, the worst first approach. And I'm sure this is a strategy and a pavement management approach that a lot of people in the cities, counties, and DOTs know about. But I'm sure a lot of the public thinks, well, hey, this is the worst road. Why aren't you fixing this right now? So why is that not typically a good approach? And how does a city county kind of buck the trend of not having to resort to the worst of first?
If you do some preservation work, you can spend $1. But if you wait until the road is in bad shape, you're going to spend five or six times more on this road. So would you rather spend the small amount and make this road in a very good condition, or wait until it's really bad and it's going to cost you more? And also, when you do a lot of preservation over the long run, you can free more money to do the worst roads. You cannot improve the condition of all the roads in your city or your county if you keep doing the worst first. Basically, you're going to keep kind of chasing your tail.
Well, he said in the long term that doesn't seem to help or to work out. When we talked about this and we talk about optimizing our pavement management, there's obviously some challenges. What were some of the ones that you faced at the Texas DOT? And what are some that maybe you see some other cities and counties having to face as they try to move towards a more optimized approach?
You need to have the right tools, and you need to have the right data. You need to have the performance models or the deterioration curves. Universities and consultants, you know, can help the agency to develop these models. Or if you're a city or a county, you can use some of the experience from your state DOT. You can kind of leverage what your state is using. And you also need to develop some decision trees that will provide reasonable recommendations of what to do with the roads. And it's an iterative process that you have to constantly kind of recalibrate the models, and you recalibrate your decision tree so that, you know, your optimization will work.
So it's definitely not a just set it and forget it. It's a constant upgrading and making a bit better as time goes on. You know, I'm sure every agency probably would love to be in this spot, you know, would love to have everything they're doing optimized and efficient. What do you see is why maybe some places either aren't there yet, or it's just not on their radar to even do it?
I think there are a few reasons. You know, you need to kind of understand the benefits of preservation. So the traveling public may not understand. They will say, why is the agency not doing the worst road? You know, why are they working on this road? So you need to kind of explain that I'm spending $1 now on this road rather than spending $5 or $10 later. And you need to do a lot of communication and get the support from your leadership to move in this direction and this approach. And you need to kind of share the benefits of using optimization. Depending on the size of your agency, you know, you may need to train a lot of staff on how to use optimization. Or if you have limited staff, you know, you need to have a subject matter expert that can run this analysis or these scenarios for you. Overall, if you implement optimization and these analytical tools and data-driven decisions, you're making the best use of the available money, and you will start seeing that you can improve your roads than the available funds that you have, or even with less.
You started at the Texas DOT, and you're the one that kind of helped implement a lot of this process. How do you convince or convey how important this is and the benefits of what it can be when you already have a strapped budget? How do you sell that?
I think there are different ways of selling it. One is that you can show your leadership cases from other states or other agencies or other cities and counties that are using these approaches and how they are successful. The other thing is, these approaches, if you save 1 or 2% of what you spend on the maintenance of your roadways every year, that will cover a lot more than the costs of implementing such a system. So if you're spending $5 million, $2 million, you know, spending 1% or 2% from your budget will pay for the costs of such a system and more. And even if you think of it over several years, you know, you're going to get your money back and more.
The key from that is, don't be afraid to ask your neighboring state or county or agency to say, what's working for you? Because it might work for us. As we continue to talk about optimization, you know, a lot of it comes back to data and being able to read that data and analyze it. What does an agency need to do to analyze the data that's coming out of your pavement management system?
I think having easy access to the data is very helpful and very successful. using GIS maps is a good way of presenting the data and sharing the data. And you can have also some simple reports, you know, that kind of shows whether you meet the performance measure or not, or, you know, where you stand on your performance measures, or like a dashboard. All of these things kind of help people. I'm a big fan of using maps to share data and to improve efficiency.
Overall, kind of the name of the game is just being more efficient with how you're doing everything. What were some of the strategies that you guys used at TxDOT to start optimizing the systems, you know, over your 20-year span that you were there? And once you started actually really starting to optimize your pavement management systems?
Well, we used the optimization tools in our 4-year pavement management plans. It can be a starting point for the districts, given their available budget, to develop a plan that they can start working with. And also, it helped us kind of also with developing the performance targets and also using optimizations to meet some of the federal requirements. So it definitely had several benefits, in the developing plans, developing targets, and meeting the federal requirements.
As agencies progress down their path of optimization, and then they continue to kind of take these steps forward, what are some of the bigger challenges and hurdles that they're going to have to start facing once they're starting to implement and they're really starting to dive into this? You know, you were in it long enough to know that it's not going to be smooth sailing after you get it going.
It's not like you turn the switch on and everything is going to work 100% fine. It's an iterative process. You will put your models, you will put your decision tree, but after you start running the first few scenarios, you may feel like there are some things need to be tweaked. And also, you need to continuously refine and calibrate the models. We constantly use different materials or different, sometimes the traffic patterns change. So you have to constantly kind of fine tune the models and the decision tree. It's not a switch on and off and everything will work fine. You know, it will require effort, but it can be done. And the value from using it is huge.
And what do you see as the future of optimization? Where are we going?
I think we need to be using optimization. We need to be using true optimization, because sometimes this term is used loosely, but we need to use true optimization. We need to plan for multiple years. We need to kind of consider the several constraints that we're dealing with. Or we need to have more than one, you know, goal or objective trying to achieve. The area of asset management and the area of pavement management is an area that's growing, you know, and it also takes us into the area of accountability, you know, of, you know, you're given the money and here's what you expect, or here's the best use of your money.
How gratifying is it when your systems are working? You're kind of saving the state money and now you're being held, you're living up to that accountability.
If you work in a city or a county or a state DOT, you're happy to see the condition of the roads improve. It's a good feeling.
Magdi, once again, thank you very much for joining. I hope to see you back in the hot seat again at some other point. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast wherever you are listening and leave us a review. If you want to learn more about us, check out agileassets.com. For Magdi McHale, I'm Nick Frank. Join us again next time for another edition of Move Your Assets.